All right. Well, think on these things. These are important matters of the heart. We're going to talk about the heart. Your heart. I want you to think very strongly about this, and I want you to let the Lord use this in your life. Because this is a stern warning, and we're going to talk about what the heart actually is, what the Bible says about that, what it's talking about. And we're going to talk about this first message is going to be, keep thy heart. Keep thy heart. And I want you to really, really examine your own heart based on the Scriptures. Not on your own understanding, okay? Not on this philosophy of, well, follow your heart. You know, that's what a lot of people teach. You just gotta follow your heart. No, you don't have to follow your heart. You don't want to follow your heart. Your heart will get you in a lot of trouble if you follow it. And I'm gonna show you why it'll get you in trouble, okay, with this series. And we'll get you prepared for all that. And give you some understanding here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Short verse, but very powerful. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, I pray you'd bless us now. Help us to see this. Help us, Lord, to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Samuel, everything's on right there, right? You got it live and everything? All right, good deal. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So many people today want to look for wisdom, but they want to look for it in the wrong places. There is a wisdom that comes from above. There is a wisdom from above. And if you ask of God, He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God gives wisdom, and we find wisdom from the Scriptures. And now when we ask God for wisdom, it's not like this invisible, magical thing comes down and is placed in your mind. Is it? What is it then? What happens? When you and I get wisdom from above, God opens up our hearts and our minds up to the Scriptures. And when we search the Scriptures, then we see and we gain wisdom from them. Do you understand that? That's where wisdom comes. It's not some magical formula. It's not some invisible thing that takes place. Everybody is looking for something in the wrong place. When everything you need is right here. Do you understand it? It's all in the Scriptures. Now, like I said, I preached this nearly 4 years ago. And it's just as important today as it was then, if not more. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart. What does that word? What does that word mean to keep? You know, there's a few definitions in the Scripture. There are a few ways that that word is used, keep. We're going to look at a few of those ways and apply them because they apply to us and to our hearts. The first way that word is used to keep something means to watch, to put a watch on, to be a watchman. Or watchmen, men set for a guard, either one person or more, set to espy the approach of an enemy or other danger, and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. A sentinel, a guard, to keep watch at the gate. Pilate told the Pharisees, he said, "You have your watch. Go make it sure as you can." Somebody was watching. And God is telling us the best way that our heart is kept is to put a guard upon it. To guard your heart. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We see a watch then in the night. It protects against the always approaching and relentless enemy, the devil. The devil is always approaching. He's always the enemy. If we only guarded our heart as much as we would want someone to guard our nation or to guard us against enemies that come, if we only saw our hearts the same way and understood what God is saying here, when he says to keep thy heart, put a guard upon your heart, watch your heart. We're to set a guard upon it. Are you guarding your heart for what you allow to come in it? Being very careful what you allow to influence your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. The command is to keep your heart. To set a guard upon it. To protect it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, please. We're going to talk about this today, too. In another message. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We'll answer that question for you this afternoon. God answers it, but we'll show you from the scriptures. Amen. The heart is wicked. It already is wicked. So I have to keep the wickedness and evil from it. I have to set a watch upon my heart to guard it. And not to allow evil to enter into it. They always say the eye is the window of the soul, right? So we're to be careful what our eyes see, what we allow our eyes to see, what we allow ourselves to dwell upon. This is one of the major Hollywood and everything else that is out there. We're to guard our hearts and keep ourselves from looking at things that would defile us. That come from within. I don't need to agitate the already wicked, sinful nature I have. I don't need to work up the sinful nature that I already have. I need to guard my heart. My goodness, my friend, there is more to this Christian life than just being saved. That's great. Your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing that you're going to be with the Lord. But if you stop there, you have missed it entirely. God didn't save you to keep you from hell. He saved you to bring glory to His name. He didn't save you just to pull you out of hell. He saved you for Christ's sake. We are so selfish, so absolutely selfish, that we live our lives after a manner of which we can do whatever we want to do because we live like we are our own. Well, you're not your own. You're bought and paid for with a price. And God said, put a guard on your heart. He said, keep your heart. It's a direct command. You know, we're also to guard our hearts or keep them from the attacks of the wicked one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is always, you know, if you don't have a guard on your heart, he is looking for a way in. He is an enemy that is always looking for a way to get in. That's why you have to examine your own heart based on the scriptures. You've got to use the scriptures to examine your heart. And the reason why is because he's always looking for a way to come in. An open road, an open door, an open window, an opportunity to come into your heart and to defile it worse than it is. Be sober. He says, be serious. Guard or keep your heart from the wicked one who is always lurking about. Be sober. Be serious. You ever met people that take this Christian life like a cakewalk? Like it's a trip to Disneyland? That's how they live their life. They're never warring against anything. They're never fighting evil. They're never standing up for righteousness. It's just like they're just abiding until they get to heaven. Well, I'll submit to you that most of those people are on their way to hell. Because most of them don't have the Holy Ghost of God inside of them. They've never been born again. They live their lives like there's no battle at all. You know what really saddens me the most? Is that I see so many professing Christians today that they're not fighting anything. They're not fighting. They're not guarding their hearts against anything. They're not keeping a watch upon their heart. They don't care. Complacency has set in. And nobody is watching their heart. So everything is defiling. Everything is coming in. There's no guard on it. There's no war. There's no battle. There's no enemy. There's no fight. We wonder why America's going to hell and two sodomites are kissing at a football game and showing it and broadcasting it everywhere for the world to see. What, you don't see a direct example of what America is? A cesspool, a moral cesspool of wickedness? God bless America. Yeah, right. For what? For what? I'm sorry, but you're going to get me to wave no flag. Yeah, I'm not doing it. If that offends you, oh well. That's the way it goes. And I'm sure it will offend many. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. Because we need to get back to waving this! This is what we need to wave! Exactly. Keep thy heart. But you won't if you're not in a battle. You don't care. No, you know what you'll do though? If you don't keep your heart, you'll point at the guy who's trying to and you'll be mad because he's warring against something. Oh, that's just his opinion. Oh, that's just the way he does things. Oh, that's just his idea. Oh, that's just Bible! Right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, just back off. Just live weak. Just don't war against anything. Come on, it's not that bad. Hey, we're blessed to be here. Don't worry about it. This is just the way it is. It's no big deal. Just keep going on. I just don't know how people do that. If I ever get to that point, God, please take me home. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be anymore. If I lose my fight and my drive, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't. Because it stinks! I don't want to be here anymore. If I'm not going to fight and war against sin and war against wickedness and stand up for righteousness, then what are we even doing here? Why did God save us then? Why are we even here? Keep thy heart. Boy, Brother Lee, this is definitely different than 4 years ago, isn't it? Why do you think God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God? Oh, I thought it was because we were going to have a Christian cakewalk. Somebody play the piano. Let's walk around and have cake. No, you know what it's for? It's for war! You put armor on for war. And you know what's wrong? We got so many milquetoast, complacent men out there that don't want a war anymore. They're too busy worrying about making money and being successful. That's great you have your millions. That's great you have your great job and everything else. So let's just watch the whole world and our families go to hell. And then people wonder why their children are going to hell. And it's for this principle right here. Because you have not kept your own heart. And you've been taken away. You've been consumed with this world. Why? Because you set no watch upon your heart. None whatsoever. I it just amazes me how I have seen it over the last 3 years, even more since I preached this, that nobody wants the war. Not nobody, but many people, most people don't, they don't want to fight anything anymore. Let's just give up and let it all win. We're all going to heaven. Oh well. Wow. Yeah, you might be, okay? And you might be going in a few years, but what about him? What about your grandchildren? What about your children growing up in a world where nobody wants to fight against sin? Nobody wants to put a guard upon their heart. Nobody wants to set a watch. Nobody wants to do that anymore. What about them? What are we teaching them? Oh, the battle's over. Wouldn't have put it there. And it's real and it's needed because there's the battle. You know why? Because your heart is wicked, that's why. And my watch upon it. And we have to guard what comes into it. And we have to be careful. We understand what comes out of it is what defiles it. Get it. But you know what? When you look inside and you don't put any government, keep a watch upon it, anything is possible. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Too many people are just resting with a little bit of Jesus in their life. And they're not guarding their heart. There's no watch on it. There's no guard on it. Danger is approaching. Danger comes into it. But I don't want to fight. I want to go to a place where I don't have to fight. I want to go to a church where there's no fight. I promise you, there's 99 of them everywhere you go. And there might be one that wants to fight. But I'll tell you what, when you're one that wants to put a watch on your heart and you want to teach others to do it, you're going to be attacked for it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because people with no zeal attack people with zeal. People that are complacent have already given up. They've given up the fight. They've given over to the culture. They've given up. They said, it's not worth fighting for. You know what? I can't look at your children and say they're not worth fighting for. I can't do that. I can't. Grandma, grandpa might. Cousin might. Uncle might. Aunt might. Somebody else might. But I can't. You might, but I'm not gonna. By God's grace, I'm not gonna. It's worth fighting for. And you better put a guard on your heart. Why? Galatians 5:19 tells us why. Turn there, please. By the way, what happened when kings went out to battle and David didn't go? Let me tell you something. You quit battling sin, you'll start sinning. Got it? You quit fighting sin and you'll start sinning. You don't put a guard on your heart and you'll be in sin. Every time. Because when kings go out to battle, you aren't ready to fight. You're staying home. You don't want to fight. Galatians 5:19 said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty clear, isn't it? You better guard against those things. By the way, if you don't fight it, and you just abstain from it, but you're not warring against it, your children see it. You got to war against sin. Yep. Number two, the word keep also means to preserve. To preserve something. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What does that mean? He's a preserve. God's going to keep them. Not one word of his has failed. Not one word of his has fallen. He has kept every one. That word keep means to preserve. It means to preserve your heart as well. That means to keep from corruption. Oh, how about that? That means that if you preserve something, it's not corrupted, it's kept from corruption. Yeah. So that would mean that if you believe the King James Bible is the preserved word of God, then it must needs be inspired. Because God didn't preserve anything corrupted. He preserved it pure as silver. Tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is speaking to the born-again believer and telling him to preserve his heart from corruption, to keep it for the Lord. Our heart should be kept in store for the Lord and for what he wants. How many believers have prostituted their hearts out to the wicked world and to sin and to the devil? God is telling us to keep or preserve your heart for the Lord and for his use. So many times God's people sell out and give their hearts to something or someone that drives them from the will of God. They don't keep it. They don't preserve it. They give it away. I like what one preacher said. He said, we must maintain a holy jealousy of ourselves and set a strict guard accordingly upon all the avenues of the soul. Keep our hearts from doing hurt and getting hurt, from being defiled by sin and disturbed. Keep a conscience void of offense. Keep the affections of all keepings. There are many ways of keeping things, by care, by strength, by calling it, and we must use them all in keeping our hearts. And all little enough, so deceitful are they. Or above all keepings, we must keep our hearts with more care and diligence than we keep anything else. Do you understand that? You've got to keep your heart more than you were. There's some people that are so worried about their health and their great fitness and they're in great shape and they eat all the right things and they do all the right things, but their heart is not kept. There's no guard upon their heart, and their hearts are consumed with wickedness. And they're going to die and go to hell. Or they're saved. They got nothing for the Lord. Their heart is given to the world. It's given over to the lust of the flesh. The pride of life. Some people say, but it's my heart. I can do what I want with it. You ever heard people talk like that? But I want what you want. If you're a child of God, would you get over yourself? Since when is it about what you and I want? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37, Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This means God alone has the right to your heart. And things should be filtered through his word. Remember, your heart is a temple, like Brother Russ talked about. And the scriptures say, your heart is like a temple. And there's a throne. And there's the four chambers that come. And everything else that is involved with that. And there's a place for God to sit upon your heart. As the rightful king. Amen? You're commanded to keep or preserve your heart from the wickedness of this world. And we understand that it's only done by the power of God and the armor which He provides. We don't do anything in our own strength or power. If we do, we fail. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We should be preserving our hearts because they belong to God and He purchased them with His own precious blood. Are you preserving your heart? Are you keeping it from corruption in this wicked world? Is it set apart, set aside from corruption for the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the Scriptures mean? Thy thoughts, thy will, thy affections. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee. Part. I like some of the definitions of the heart that I've heard. They make a lot of sense scripturally. We're to keep the mind from vanity, the from error, the will from perverseness, the conscience clear of guilt, the affections from being inordinate and set on evil objects, the thoughts from being employed on bad subjects, and the whole from falling into the hands of the enemy or being the possession of Satan. Great diligence had need be used in keeping it, since it is naturally so deceitful and treacherous. A strict eye is to be kept upon it. All the avenues of it, what? Nothing hurtful enters or evil comes out. It is to be kept by all manner of means that can be thought of, by prayer, hearing, reading, meditating, and above all by applying to Christ for His grace and Spirit to sanctify, preserve, and keep it. Or above all, keep thine heart. Though other things are to be kept and care taken of them as kingdoms and cities and towns and families and treasures and riches. Yet the heart above all, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, the heart, it's been said, it's the seat of all affections and emotions. Keep thine heart. That heart is the will, the thought of a man, the affections of a man. Where he is, it's the seat of the soul. Do you understand that? The seat of all affections. Of natural life, it is the seat of it, from whence all actions of life are derived. It is, as the philosophers say, the first that lives and the last that dies. It is the seat of spiritual life. The principle of it is formed in it, from whence all spiritual and vital actions flow, and which lead unto an issue in eternal life, as is a man's heart, such is his state now, and will be hereafter. If the heart is quickened and sanctified by the grace of God, the man will live a life of faith and holiness here, and enjoy everlasting life hereafter. And if the heart is right, so will the affections of men be. They are regulated and denominated by it. They will then spring from right principles and be directed to right ends and performed with right views. Great care, therefore, should be taken of the heart, since so much depends upon it. So it is well known to God, the searcher of it. Keep thy heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word means with great care. Keep thy heart with all care and pay attention to your heart. Don't be filling it with a bunch of garbage. With the heart that is in my chest, but the blood is pumped to it. You know, you can die if you put too many bad things in your heart, right? We understand that. If you don't take care to guard it and protect it and to preserve it with all care and diligence, actively conscious of what you're putting into it, you'll defile and clog it with wickedness. Why is it so important to keep my heart with all diligence? For out of it are the issues of life. That word for means the same as because in many instances in Scripture. I'm not correct in the Bible. It corrects us. Amen. The way you and I deal with things of this life shows what's in our hearts. Jesus said, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Jesus explains how are all the issues of life. What does that mean exactly? Well, Jesus is going to explain it here in Matthew 15. That word for, Matthew chapter 15, verse number 17, the Bible says this, Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. They proceed out of the heart. You know, we preach a lot on modesty and women wearing and dressing properly and not and keeping themselves covered and everything like that. We believe that wholeheartedly and stand up. And I've heard people say, well, yeah, but it's the other person. It's the man's fault for lusting. Well, you know what? You don't bait somebody, like I told you before, with sin. You don't bait them. Amen. However, you're right that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You're right that it's the heart of a man that's the problem. So if you knew that and you loved your brother, you would want to make sure that you did all you could do not to entice that sin nature. See, when you grow up and become big boys and big girls and understand that your life is more than about you. I've heard some lady, well, yeah, but I can wear whatever I want. It's his fault if he has those thoughts and whatever. No, you don't have any love. Yeah, that's hate. You don't love anybody. What do you mean? Well, if you love somebody, you'd cover up. Because you wouldn't want them to sin. But it's their fault they sin. You're right, but it's your fault if you entice them. We know it comes from the heart. We know all sin comes from the heart. All lust comes from the heart. We understand that. But if you put something unclean before somebody's eyes on purpose, so you're guilty. Don't think you won't answer to God for that. That's right. Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Look at this. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with one washed hands defileth not a man. What is he saying? He's saying that you and I have a responsibility not to feed the flesh. We have a responsibility not to feed the nature of a man, the fallen nature of a man. We have a responsibility to put a guard on our heart. Why? Because out of it already proceed wickedness, evil thoughts that defile the man. So I don't need to use the window to my heart, all right? Use it and put things in front of me and not guard my heart against. That's why I'm to keep my heart with all diligence. That's why I'm to be diligent. Why? Because my heart is already deceitful above all things. It already has things that flow out of it that are wrong. This verse is saying from the heart. Do you know what this verse is saying? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What that's saying? It's saying your heart is like a road map. There's a map or there's a road that comes out of it. And what you allow into your heart and what you allow to affect your heart is the type of road that you're going to go down in life. So if you and I decide to allow wickedness in our lives and disgusting things in our lives and sin in our lives, and we allow that in our hearts to dwell in there and to think on those things and to do those things, then guess what? We are mapping out a road from our heart that is going to lead to destruction. Everything flows from the heart. So if you and I do not guard our hearts, we'll spew out the worst venom and wickedness that this world has ever seen. If we allow bitterness and envy in our hearts, then we'll put out bitterness and envy as well to others. You know, I have seen this, and we're going to talk about the bitter heart, by the way. We're going to cover that here pretty soon. I don't know if it's today or if it's next, a week from this Sunday. But the bitter heart. And you know, the thing about bitterness, it blinds you. See, bitterness blinds you. You don't even realize that you have a bitter heart. You don't even get it. Like, you don't even see the things you do. Now, others that have a spiritual mind that examine things, they sit back and they watch and they look at it and they're thinking, man, you're just very bitter. And you're acting after bitter manner, and you're treating people because of your bitterness. You're treating them wrongly because you're bitter. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Allow bitterness and envy in hearts. I've seen it, a pattern of meanness and error from somebody. It's easy to see what's in the heart. A born again believers, as we are, we have the Holy Ghost, and we have no excuse for sin and handling the issues of life in a wrong way. No excuse for wicked, ungodly relationships. No excuse for being mean and bitter and judgmental and envious of others. By the way, I'm not talking about righteous judgment either. There's a difference. There is a sure sign that we are not guarding or preserving or keeping our hearts with all care and heed when we are not understanding that out of our heart is the issue, flows everything, springs the plan of how you will handle things when they come your way. So let me ask you, are you keeping your heart? Are you guarding your heart? Are you preserving your heart? Is there a guard upon your heart? If not, you know what? You better get back to it. Better get back to watching your heart, watching out for bitterness, watching out for those thoughts that you entertain and continue to entertain inside of your heart, and you develop, instead of asking the Lord God, remove those thoughts from me, and forgive me for even dwelling on those things. Lord, I've got, I have victory over this, I need it. And you know what? By the washing of regeneration, you wash it out with the Word. Amen. You wash those bitter thoughts out, those wicked intents, those bad things that come in. You put a guard upon that. The guard is the Scriptures. And I judge every thought. Every thought. What's the Bible say? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do I get that from? His words. Right here. Keep thy heart. Keep thy heart. Keep thy heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That means that you're on guard. That means you are watching and you are alert for what you allow. Never making excuses and repenting. Mm-hmm. Keep thy heart. Put a guard upon thy heart. For out of it, are the issues of life. Think about it. Have you been letting down your guard? Have you been letting down your guard and letting bitterness and envy and wrath and the works of the flesh to seep into your heart and to affect you and to dwell on those things? Better put the guard back on. Better put the guard back on your heart. Now's not the time to be lax. The enemy is at hand. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Help us to live by them. Help us to love them. Lord Jesus, we can only be washed by your word. We can only be sanctified by your word. Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit. Help us to use the illumination from him that you give through the Scriptures and strengthen and put a watch and a guard on our hearts, that we not fall for the things of this world. Lord, that we not fall prey to the works of the flesh, that we not use our eyes to look upon evil, use our thoughts to think upon evil things and to dwell upon those things. Dear God, cleanse us from secret faults and sins. Help us, Lord, we need you. Cleanse us, Lord, of our unrighteousness. Help us to walk worthy of your calling. In Jesus' name we pray.